Give me a signal. Welcome to Practical Rambling Fathers, Father Brian.
And Father Tay. And so we're going to continue. We've tried to do a little Saint series for a little bit, and then we're coming back to it, because hopefully we can release some this podcast for talking about the saints in November. There's some pretty good saints in November. And my favorite one I like in November is Saint Leo the Great. He was a great pope. So when he was born, he was born to a very rich family, of course, in the Roman aristocratic family. But because of his humbleness and being called to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, is how his path to become priest and the pope. So in the beginning, he was a very well-known deacon at the time in the church of 431, serving on the church of Pope Celestine I. And so because of his love for the Lord and his beautiful speaking skills, he was able to bring a lot of peace with all his work and prayer. And so the church hierarchy decides to kind of get him ordained as a priest and to move him along the way. But one of the things that stuck out to me about St. Leo the Great was when he was pope, at a very difficult time. There was a lot of heresies that was arriving.
So what is a heresy?
So a heresy is if I can talk, a heresy is where you take a Catholic faith and you kind of misunderstand it, but you prove it, you pose it as the truth, right? So like, for example...
Wow, that was a complicated definition.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Wrong teaching of the church.
Yes.
Heresy.
Yeah, there we go. That's what I meant to say. I don't know why I said that way, but yes. So
promoting the wrong vision of who either the church is, the Lord is, Mary is.
Yes.
Mostly a lot of early heresies had to do with who Christ was or wasn't.
Yeah, so... And speaking of which...
were the ones that he was dealing with?
Yeah. And so the ones that he dealt with was they could not reconcile... Was sorry, pause. I'm trying to read this. My eyeball's not looking good. Let me find it. Okay. So one of them was Pelagianism, which denies that there was any original sin, and then failing to understand the necessity of God's grace for salvation. There.
Pelagianism.
Yep. So it was a mistaken notion that we can perfect ourselves without God's grace and assistance. Right, kind of like we earn our salvation, that we don't need God's grace. It's through man's own efforts and his desires that he can achieve it. But we know that's not true. God gives us the seven sacraments. He gives us his grace to inspire us to do what is right and what is holy. Without that sanctification on God's part and without his supernatural grace, we're not able to do it by ourselves. And the other one was about it's called Manichaeism. Whereas, like, the body is bad. Anything to do with the body, like emotions and desires, let's repress it. Like, that's not good. This duality of the soul is good, body, not so much, right? And so I viewed everything that's material as evil.
Yeah. It's a little bit like yin-yang.
Yes.
A little bit, like good versus evil.
With no outcome, right?
Yeah, with no definite outcome. Yeah, we're material. Everything material is bad or is evil.
Mm-hmm.
And the soul is the only good. And so it's kind of like Plato.
Yep.
Plato the philosopher was always about the soul trying to escape the body.
Yep, it's trapped in the body. It wants to go to the world of ideas.
The world of forms.
Yeah.
Anyways, different conversation.
But yeah, so those were the two heresies that kind of plagued the church, and they have a lot of implications. For example, number one, when we talk about Pelagianism, right? If man is able to save himself, why is there a need for Christ's humanity and divinity? There wasn't really a need to send us a savior. If man can just do it by himself, why is there a need for these sacraments? Why is there a need for grace? Why is there a need to have a relationship with God if he can just do it by himself? That's dangerous. That means you're going to deny a lot of our faith and why God and who he is. Right? God is all good. He's all beauty. He's all truth. Right? We need God. Without God, we are nothing. And so that Pelagianism was not very good because it denies the role of even Christ into our own life. And the other part was the Manichaeism, right? Just this duality of things. right? And so Pope Leo the Great spent a lot of time trying to unite both factions and to teach the truth. And say, he said, brothers, let's meet. Let's really hammer this out because our faith is rich. Let's make sure everyone gets it, and not to say that you're wrong, but no, here's what the church teaches, and here's why we believe what we believe. But he was also a very... So another one, too, that people had an issue with is the two natures of Jesus, especially with the Eastern Christians. They're like, so the issue was, is he all divine or is he all human? He can't be both. But we believe in Catholic faith. It's like, no, he is both, both human and divine. He has two natures. You cannot have one without the other.
Jesus is a divine being.
Correct.
He's not a human being.
He's divine.
He's a divine being.
Yep.
The only divine being.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Mm. Think about
divine
that.
Divine being with two natures. Fully God, fully man.
Yes.
Not 100% and 100%.
Yep.
Not 50-50.
It's not a Transformers. Fully,
but fully.
That's awesome.
I love the mystery.
Yeah, dude, our faith has such good stuff. If you really take the time. So Pope Leo made sure people understood what was going on with our faith. He dispelled a lot of the lies that was going around. And he put everyone on the same page of clarity in his preaching and in his teaching. My favorite story was when Attila the Hun, he's causing chaos. He's taking over a lot of countries. He's taking about Milan and the three other cities of Rome. Of Italy, he's marching closer to the Pope. The Pope was like, Leo's like, yeah, should probably go meet him. So Pope Leo the Great goes out on a horse to meet Attila. Attila is surging at him. Then he looks at Pope Leo and turns around. His generals are like, Attila's like, why did you leave? He said, oh, you didn't see those two guys behind him? He's like, they look very scary, so we're not going to attack him. And so who were the two guys behind Pope Leo the Great? It was Saints Peter and Saint Paul. The general's like, we've already won four cities. What's stopping you from attacking the Pope and getting rid of him? He's like, no, we're done. And so he leaves. So he leaves, and then Pope Leo was able to restore peace to his country and pull people closer to God. But I was telling Father Brian, like, dude, these saints they're made of different material, man.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure. I pray for that courage. And, you know, like, I'm not sure it's my first instinct to be like, here's Attila the Hun. Let's go out and meet him by
the guy
myself.
That killed everyone.
Yeah, let's go meet him and be like, let's find a peaceful solution.
He's the only one that took over Russia successfully.
Yeah. So the reason why we talk about these saints because he died on November 10th of the year 461, and he was buried as close as he could to the body and the tomb of Saint Peter. We bring up these saints because they are an example for us that we shouldn't be afraid. Right? That our faith contains a lot of beautiful men and women who are courageous for God. If they can do it, we can do it too. And so I want to encourage you guys is to look at all these different saints. My favorite website is usccb.org. And you click on the daily readings. It has all the calendar. You can look at all the different saints that are there. Then you can go from there to research their biographies.
I think Amazon's your favorite website, but USCCB might be second.
They don't need to know how much time is spent, okay? We're talking about Leo the Great, not the weakness of all the shopping spree.
That's your number one go-to website. Wow, that's impressive. That's not mine.
And the Heirs of Faith, yes.
Oh, no.
Amazon is also up there. I'm not going to lie. That's why we have these things to remind us.
It's another time. Top 10 Father Tay's favorite website.
That's right. These material things shall pass. That's why I would encourage you guys to ask through the intercession of these saints to really help you out. And when things are confusing and we need more encouragement or hope, say, hey, look, St. Leo, how did you do it? How did you become courageous? How did you stick the course to be faithful to God? He was such a humble man. He realized that him being Pope was not to do his own power. It was to protect the faith and to bring peace, but also to bring others closer to God by all the talents that he has. And then for me, that's why he's such a great saint for our time. How can we emulate St. Leo the Great?
Is he the one that gives us the exorcist prayer?
That was Leo the 13th.
No, different Leo.
Yep. But he inspired. Different Leo. Yep, correct.
A few different Leos.
We have a lot of Leos. Yep.
Mm.
And along the same line.
You became Pope, you'd be a good Leo.
Yeah. What?
You became Pope, you'd be a good Leo.
No, no. We don't talk
Pope
about
Leo.
That. I do not want to be Pope. No. Leo. No one desires that. We're moving on. We're talking about St. Martin. Stop it.
Sorry.
We're talking about St. Martin Tours. So his feast day is November 11th. And St. Leo the Great was November 10th. So St. Martin Tours is also another beautiful example because he's a Roman soldier and he converted. That's unheard of. Because if you're a Roman soldier, you worship Caesar. That is your God. You listen to your generals. You are now a property of the Roman government. So for him to fully profess that he's a Christian and to be part of the army, that says a lot. That says a lot of bravery and a lot of courage of what he was doing.
And you were branded as a soldier, so everyone would know that you were a soldier.
Yeah. So the cool part of this is that when he became a Christian catechumen, he was baptized when he was 18. And he was forced to be in the army by his dad at the age of 15. But then he kind of left all that. And he says, you know what? I want to live more like a monk than a soldier. So at 23 years old, his commander comes up to him and gives him a war bonus, trying to keep him inside the army. This is what he tells him. I have served you as a soldier. Now let me serve Christ. Give the bounty to those who are going to fight. But I'm a soldier of Christ, and it's not lawful for me to fight. And so he fought long years to get out of the army. And finally, he was able to be discharged and to be a disciple of Hilaire of Poitiers.
Mm.
And so it says that he too was like Leo, where he had to fight against these people who had a big confusion and heresy, wrong teaching of the Catholic Church when it came to the nature of Jesus Christ. It says he was ordained an exorcist and worked with great zeal against the Arians, right? And so the Arians were the ones that believed that Jesus couldn't possibly be fully human. And so they had issues with that. And so it's kind of amazing about how during that time there's always all these heresies. You're like, but didn't Jesus leave concrete teachings about all this, you know, and all his words? You would think that we would believe this, right? But no, the church was in its earlier stages of this. But St. Martin de Tours was really known for when he was a soldier. There's a legend about him that when he was a soldier, as he was coming out of the army and becoming more of a monk, he meets a poor man on the road. It was a very cold night. And so the man's crying out to St. Martin de Tours, and he said, hey, look, sir, help me because it's very cold. Can I have your cloak? And Martin de Tours says, but if I gave you my cloak, what do I have for myself? And the man keeps pleading, says, brother, I have nothing. I'm naked. I'm going to die in the cold. So St. Martin Tours takes his sword, cuts his Roman cloak, a red one, in half, gives half of it to this poor man, and he keeps the half for himself. So as he's shivering in the cold, sleeping on the ground, you know, as a Roman soldier, he has this vision where Christ appears to him, and Christ is dressed in half the cloak that he cut off. And so he asks the Lord Jesus, like, Lord, who are you? What does this mean? And Jesus says, you know, I'm Jesus, the son of Nazareth. Because you've helped this poor man, you saw me. You helped clothe me when I was naked. He said, I'm not calling you to become a soldier. I'm calling you to become a different soldier. So can you leave this life behind and follow me? Thus, kind of like what I said earlier, he was forced into the life of the Roman army. He didn't like it at all. He wanted just to become a monk. Because after he received that vision, his life was never the same. And so once again, if we have any issues within our own life of like standing for our faith and worrying about what others think, read these stories of these saints and ask for the courage, ask for the inspiration. So hopefully these stories will inspire you to do the same and
be inspired.
Mm. Be inspired.
Be inspired. Be inspired.
Be inspired.
Woo!
Yes. So, thank you for listening to us, and hopefully we'll see you soon on the Practical Rambling Fathers.
Stay holy, my friends.
Bye.
Bye.